This week, the battle lines got clearer. President Trump launches a bold new wave of tariffs, up to 25% on key imports, sending a clear message to China, Mexico, and anyone else betting against the American industry. While the left screams about inflation, supporters are calling this what it is: economic warfare for national survival. From trade policy to terrorist-linked protesters in universities to the purge of a Space Force commander after a political visit, it's obvious this isn't business as usual. This is a nation being reshaped in real time. On today's show, we're breaking down the top headlines, the deeper worldview battles beneath them, and why now more than ever, we need a generation of truth-tellers, culture warriors, and giant slayers. This is episode 53 of Defining Truth. Let's get into it. Welcome back to Defining Truth Podcast. It's been a minute. This is episode 53. We're going to go through the week's headlines, and then we're going to just sort of briefly, and then we're going to deep dive into the recently passed SAVE Act. If you're not familiar with that, we'll break it down. It's the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act. It just passed by the U.S. House of Representatives yesterday. Today is the 11th, so it passed on April 10th. But we'll get into that. But first, Brandon, welcome back.
Good to the show.
I don't think today will be a long episode. I just want to get through these headlines and give our input. And as always, try to clarify a biblical worldview where possible. So why don't you kick it off?
Yeah. So China, there's a hike on tariffs up to 125% on U.S. goods. So this is really, like I think you mentioned previously, an economic war, not just a trade war. So this is what happens when you outsource your manufacturing, supply chains, and pharmaceuticals to a communist regime. They're not a trading partner. They're a strategic enemy, and we've known that both from an economic perspective, a social perspective, a political perspective. China is not a friend of the United States. Trump was right to get tough on China. The left has called it reckless, but now we're seeing why strength matters. And decoupling isn't really an option anymore. It's really about national survival. Conservatives continue to push for economic nationalism, which really just means bringing jobs home to protect the American worker.
Yeah. So, this is basically what he did, right? So he's implemented a series of tariffs, and he's trying to reshape U.S. trade relationships. So up until this point, we've kind of been getting the raw end of the deal globally. I mean, I would say that goes for our relationship with a lot of different industries, whether we're talking about the UN, our supportive allies, or certainly in trade. A lot of these countries that you're talking about heavily tax us, but we didn't tax them in return. So we're just evening the playing field here. That's in as simple terms as I can. But here's what supporters are saying, okay? So basically, supporters of what Trump is doing now are saying that he's encouraging domestic manufacturing. That's one. By making imported goods more expensive, tariffs can incentivize companies to produce goods within the United States, potentially leading to job creation and a revitalization of the manufacturing sector. The second thing is protecting national security. So tariffs on specific imports like cars, auto parts, they're seen as measures to safeguard industries critical to national security, which ensures that the U.S. maintains essential production capabilities. Quick example of this, think about like DJI drones, right? Owned by China, mapping out the U.S. and military installations and neighborhoods and infrastructure. And, there's a lot of issues there in today's age of technology. Bringing it home helps protect national security, protect the homeland. The third point is, and this is what he's really big on, is addressing the trade imbalances. When you impose tariffs, the administration aims to sort of rectify trade deficits and promote fairer trade practices, because as we said, it hasn't really been fair at all up until this point, which encourages trade partners to negotiate more favorable terms for the U.S. Again, seems like a no-brainer, common sense thing to do. Of course, these policies sparked debate and led to market fluctuations. Proponents believe that in the long term, they will in fact contribute to a stronger and more self-reliant U.S. economy. So for Americans out there, we would say, just hold your horses, hold on to what you got. In a trade war, there's always some ups and downs, but in the long run, this is most likely what's best for America. And I think economists agree on that. What it does do in angering the opposition here domestically is it goes against this the globalist approach of, you know, redistribution of wealth and equity, et cetera, which has been proven to be disastrous for national identity and the strength of a nation. And we see this in Europe. We see this really across the world. So again, it's kind of, to put it in layman's terms, we've been getting the raw end of the deal for many, many, many years. And now we're just making sure that things are fair and equal. That being said, it's incredible to see the response and how angry people are about what literally they've been doing to us for decades. But I think we just need to hold on. It's going to turn out great in the end.
Yeah, I think a lot of the upset over this whole tariff thing is coming from people who just don't like Trump. If this was Joe Biden Absolutely. Or a Democrat, you know, suggesting these initiatives, I think that they would probably be all for it. The reality is the United States did not have an income tax until the 20th century, which was not that long ago, by the way. Before that, it was all based, the country's revenue was based on tariffs from goods being imported in the United States. I don't know a single person who likes being taxed on their income or taxed at all. But I think that if Trump does restructure the federal income tax, whether he abolishes it completely or restructures it in some way, that's a trade-off I'm willing to make, because you're guaranteed to get taxed every paycheck. You don't have to buy a car or, you know, some fancy foreign good every paycheck. Now you have to buy food. So if you have to pay a little bit more for bananas or something else that might be, you know, imported into the United States. But really you have to look, without getting angry about what Trump is saying, like what is that trade-off? Are you going to save 22 to 26% on taxes? And that means you have to spend 10% more on bananas. And I don't know how accurate those numbers are. I mean, I know what the tax brackets are, but I don't know what those numbers are. I'm not an economist, but I'm just looking at it from a practical standpoint. When you're mm-hmm. speaking to somebody who's angry about these tariffs, it's like, okay, but what's the trade-off? You know, it's like I said, you are going to get taxed on your income every paycheck. You might, you know, if maybe you don't buy bananas, maybe you buy blueberries instead that are made in California or grown in California. Yeah. You know, people get angry about stuff like that, but it's like, I mean, if I never have to eat a banana again, like, is it going to kill me?
Well, no. And I think a big part of, especially from an American cultural perspective, a big part of our disdain for government is the waste, fraud, and abuse. Like, we've recently seen Doge has uncovered hundreds of millions of dollars in waste. And so it's not that, like, you know, there's two angles here with taxes. One is, Americans, we don't like being taxed on everything to death. The other thing is, what are you doing with the tax money? Yeah, that's important to
us. That's the important part.
It's like, I don't mind paying taxes when I see the benefit. And, you know, with recent discoveries here, as Doge has come in and this administration has come in to drain this swamp, we're seeing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer dollars going to, you know, things as horrifying as supporting the Taliban and terrorist organizations, and or, you know, $400 million going to an empty warehouse in Virginia somewhere. I mean, it is ridiculous what they've done. The irresponsibility is truly astounding. So, you know, cleaning all of that up is part of what this administration is doing. They're fixing the trade issues, but they're also cleaning house inside. And of course, that makes people squirm, because the Democrats are being exposed for what they've been doing and abusing the American people. So I think it's great.
Yeah, this country doesn't have a revenue problem, much like the state of California. It's not a revenue problem. It's a spending problem, and where those, like you said, where those things are going. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, moving into the next topic. So we're going to talk again about Mahmoud Khalil. He appeared in immigration court. Just sort of the general angle of this topic is, you know, we're not obligated to host extremists. People on the left are upset because, you know, he was arrested for what they're calling free speech. He wasn't arrested for protesting. He was arrested because he had alleged ties to Hamas, which is a foreign terrorist group. That's not free speech. That's called an insider threat.
100%.
If you're a guest in this country, or anybody who lives here, whether you're a guest or you were born here, you have to follow the laws and respect the nation in which you're living in. Or you have to go. Let's not forget that CARE, the Center for American Islamic Relations, was named an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terror funding trial in United States history. And their defense of Khalil should concern every single American.
Yeah, 100%. And the Supreme Court, as we recently learned, agrees with him on this. He had a huge victory recently with SCOTUS. Essentially, again, to put it in layman's terms, they approve of what he's doing. It's good to go. It's constitutional, which of course we knew that. At this point, we're seeing some pretty wild responses from the Democrats to what the administration is doing. They've actually really departed from even their own polling. I just read this week that I forget what the issue was exactly, but something that they are supporting that their own polls say the majority of Democrats disagree with, and they're just doing it anyways. I think you hit the nail on the head with they're running on their on the fuel of hatred right now. That's all that they have left. They just hate Donald Trump so much that they've left all common sense behind, all goodness, all sense of what's right for the country. And they're just trying to throw just one piece of nonsense after another. Fortunately, common sense thus far has prevailed, and we're just continuing. And this is a perfect example, right? Like, what politician in their right mind lines up to defend a Hamas supporter? This is a foreign terrorist organization, right? And yet that's what we see. We see mainstream big name Democrats on TV, you know, defending terrorists, by the way, who are sworn by their own admission to destroy the West, to destroy America. Pretty wild, but you know, this spiral of leftism that we're observing is pretty wild. Anyways, another headline you may have seen, we'll just brief over this, was a small plane crash in Boca Raton. That is just coming out today. It's just sad. It's a good reminder that life is fragile. You know, it seems like lately, you notice like in the news, I mean, there's plane crashes all the time, but there's been like a series of, or they're covering every time a plane crashes. What was the other one this week? Was the helicopter that fell into the Hudson. Did you see that?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like this happens all the time. It being in, you know, having a background in law enforcement, you'd be amazed to see how many bad accidents and things that we went to on a weekly basis. Like, it happens all the time. But in the West, we're pretty sheltered from, you know, facing death and reality. We have life pretty good here in America. And, it's interesting when the news cycle decides to start pumping out certain things over and over and over again, because it's not a reflection of reality is that that happens all the time anyways. But when they choose to highlight it, it seems to shift people's perspective. It's really interesting. It's humbling though. It's why we talk about eternity on this show, because the culture is obsessed with now, and God calls us to think eternally. 100% agree with that. So praying for those families. Brandon, what's the next one here about Space Force?
Yeah, so the Space Force, there was a U.S. Space Force commander fired after Vice President Pence, I keep doing that on this show for some reason. I can't get Pence out of my head.
Oh, yeah.
Vice President Vance. I think it Vance and Pence. Anyways.
Yeah, it's confusing.
JD. We'll just call him JD. Had a visit. We're seeing more and more leadership, military leadership removed for vague sort of loss of confidence charges. It's happening under this administration, and it's deeply political. The military is supposed to be the last apolitical institution in our nation, but now it's being infiltrated or has been infiltrated over the last, I don't know, decade, two decades or so, with this sort of progressive ideology that we're seeing just, you know, infecting higher education, lower education, society as a whole, the media, our churches, etc. So, you know, this is big because if we lose trust in our armed forces, we really lose the last line of defense for truth, discipline, and national sovereignty. I mean, it's sort of like if you can't trust your cops, your nurses, your firefighters, and the military, we've sort of lost our culture in America in even one more way than some ways that we already have. So,
well, and we've talked about that before, the dangers of leftism creating insider threats. It's way more prevalent than people realize. There was another high-ranking member canned this week. Hold on. Let me bring it up real quick. Who was it? This lady, Navy Vice Admiral Shoshana Chatfield. She refused to put up the POTUS and SecDef pictures in the NATO HQ. And she held an all hands where she said, we'll wait them out for years. She's been relieved of duty. I think that's great, but this is also a sort of a sobering check for people who didn't think that, you know, spreading anti-American propaganda in our education institutions and throughout U.S. culture would have an effect. It does. You get people like this who get into, you know, very powerful positions in either defense, national security, government, etc., who believe essentially what our enemies have told them to believe. And that's really dangerous. You are an insider threat, right? And our enemies, of course, are the ones laughing at us about this. They love it. The disinformation and psyops from America's opponents are prolific. And they've been effectual in that they've basically captured the Democratic Party, the Democrats, and have, you know, what Stalin termed useful idiots. They've turned them into useful idiots where they just believe every piece of anti-American propaganda that comes across the board. And then they go out and they work for the intelligence community or the Department of Defense. And it's extremely dangerous. We saw some of that, and like we've discussed here on the show before, crossed over into the church. Which is, I would say, even more dangerous, where you had churches across the United States, traditionally, you know, the bastions of Western civilization, the defense of biblical worldview, etc., who began to accept the culture's perspective on, you know, all of these hot topic issues, whether it was marriage or gender or even, you know, the economy. And it was very, very dangerous, this lack of discernment that, you know, we hope can be reversed. Last up on the weekly headlines is just that the consumer confidence falls for the fourth month straight. You know, we saw this line here that says people aren't just broke, they're hopeless. I think that, again, we covered this a little bit on the top. Here's basically what happens, right? I mean, this goes down to like Keynesian economics and versus, you know, traditional capitalism. I think the bottom line is the left thinks that you can print money without consequences. And this is what we've seen over the last, you know, couple decades, where we just spend ourselves into death. And, you know, everybody expects a free handout. And anytime they're suffering, the government wants to step in and just say, we'll cover you, we'll bail you out. Well, the truth is that doesn't align with reality. Real Americans are watching their savings die and their groceries double. And I went to the store the other day, I couldn't find any eggs. This is why it's important to teach biblical stewardship and self-reliance. The government is not your provider. That's not what they're there for. Now, there's a biblical message there that applies to your family and your reliance on God alone. And there's a national message there, which is that Americans, traditionally, we did not look to the government for sustainment. We looked to God. That is how our nation was founded. We believed in self-reliance, that the biblical concept of a laborer being worthy of his wages, rewarding irresponsibility, rewarding bad behavior, or excusing it only hurts you in the long run. And that really is what the left has come to adopt. You know, this sort of concept that everything is someone else's fault. You know, if you're in jail, it's because of what? A systemic problem in the system. Or, you know, if you are in debt or, you know, are a bad financial situation, it's because, you know, capitalists have kept you there. I mean, we've totally departed from the core values of America, which were you work hard and you earn what you get. That's the American dream. Now, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I wanted to dive in real quick, just because inflation was a topic of discussion with the tariffs as well. I was listening to a podcast with Howard Lutnick, who is now the Commerce Secretary for the United States and a longtime friend of Donald Trump's. He was also the guy who owned a company that operated on the first, the top five floors of the World Trade Center.
Oh yeah, and yeah, I remember you told me.
Yeah, if you remember, he told all of those kids that lost family members in that, you know, on 9/11 that they could have jobs, you know, 20 years down the line.
Wow.
As sort of, and he took care of the family. Anyways, he's Trump, he's a commerce secretary now, and he's talking about inflation. I'm reading the transcript. I listened to it on a podcast, but he wanted to explain pricing inflation that arises from tariffs and sort of explain to the average person who says that, you know, a cost of a toy at Walmart just went up by 50%. So to be clear, and again, these are his words and I'm loosely translating, inflation comes from printing more money. You know, so he said, if let's say the United States had $1 trillion, that's all they had. And you wanted to buy a bottle of water and you buy that bottle of water. One came from America, and the other came from Fiji. And he says that, there's a tariff on the Fiji one, and that water is $1.25, and this water from America is $1. That's not inflation. That just means that one is more expensive than the other one, but you have a choice on which one you want to buy. So then he goes on and says, you know, same thing with a toy. One toy might be more expensive than the other, but that's not inflation. What inflation is you snap your fingers and boom, you print another $1 trillion, right? Much like the left did during COVID. Now there's $2 trillion in the economy. Now this water costs $1.50 and that water is $1.25. Everything's more expensive because you pumped more money into the economy. And so, you know, the point that you made is really tax... inflation is taxation. You don't have a choice. Everything goes up. With tariffs, we're importing goods to try to, you know, bring jobs back to America. And then the left, who's always talking about how there's no good jobs in America, loves to say, well, now you're going to have to pay that person more to make that car in America. And it's like, well, yeah, of course. But again, what's the trade-off? If we're paying $1.30 now instead of $1.50, we're still saving on the margins. So anyways, it's just, again, it goes back to, there's just anger on the left. You know, Trump could give a kid a lollipop and they would figure out some way as to why that was weird or racist or, you know, anything else. So
yeah, 100%.
Anyways, I would, you know, encourage people to do their own research. It's not that complicated.
It's really not. I mean, one of the advantages of being, you know, on the conservative side of issues is we have common sense and reality on our side. And that's hard. You know, that's a hard pill to swallow. I think for a lot of people in America right now, they feel disillusioned. They feel duped, which is embarrassing. You know, they're realizing a lot of things that they pursued or believed were just flat out lies. You know, their worldview doesn't align with reality. And that's embarrassing. I would just say, come on over. The water's warm. It's never a bad time to seek wisdom and truth.
Okay. So next topic we're going to dive a little bit deeper into is, the SAVE Act, the Safeguarding American Voter Eligibility Act, which was passed by the U.S. House of Representatives on April 10th, as you mentioned. Yesterday, we're recording today on April 11th. And sort of narrow margins, I guess you could say 220 to a 208 vote. It was introduced by Representative Chip Roy of Texas and backed by President Trump. And this legislation mandates that individuals provide documentary proof of U.S. citizenship, such as a passport, birth certificate, real ID, when registering to vote in federal elections or updating their voter registration. So what's the big deal? The big deal is Democrats are going all over the news media, social media, saying that this is going to sort of stop women from being able to vote. That's their big tagline. So there's a couple key provisions in there.
Which is ridiculous.
Right. So there's a couple key provisions in there that we'll talk about, and then we'll talk about why it's absolutely ridiculous. Just for the record, women still will be allowed to vote and always will be in the United States. So a couple key provisions just to move through real quick. Proof of citizenship requirement. all new voter registrations and updates to existing registrations, be it name or address change, would require an in-person submission of citizenship documents. So you're no longer going to be allowed to upload them or mail them in, it looks like. Elimination of remote registration effectively ends online mail-in and automatic voter registration methods, including those linked to driver's license applications. That's been a big deal in California. California allows green card holders or even illegal immigrants to get a driver's license, and then they automatically registered them to vote, and they're not doing it on purpose, but they're doing it. And then there's going to be penalties for election officials, and they could face criminal charges for registering voters without the proper documentation. And this bill allows private citizens to sue officials who violate those rules. So, of course, Republicans are supporting this. They argue that the SAVE Act is necessary to safeguard election integrity, and prevent non-citizens from voting. Despite such instances, they say, they on the left saying, are rare and illegal, already illegal. Well, if it's already illegal, then no problem in making it harder. And then the opponents, Democrats, and voting rights organizations contend that the bill could disenfranchise millions of eligible voters, particularly married women, low-income and rural voters, transgender individuals, and young and naturalized citizens.
Where do they pull this stuff from, dude?
So before we go into why that's absolutely laughable, I'll let you jump in and sort of recap that.
I mean, this is not new. The Democrats have some, you know, some big spine here to they say the most racist, sexist things ever while simultaneously accusing their opponents of doing exactly that. It's typical progressive Marxism. I mean, basically what they're saying is that the Democrats are saying that women are too stupid to find their birth certificates.
Yeah.
I mean, how offensive is that? Remember, they did the same thing with, When I forget what state it was trying to pass, you know, voter ID law, and they're like, they did it with black people, and they were like, black people can't use computers, you know, like, oh, can you, that's racist. And I'm like, dude, that's the most racist thing you could possibly say.
Yeah.
They're so offensive. Like, the bottom line is, this is just about proving that you're an American to vote. It's not that big of a deal. Here's what they can't come out and say, though. Okay. What they can't come right out and say is, hey, we're using illegal non-citizens to boost our election numbers.
Yeah.
And that's really what this is about. They've committed fraud, mass fraud against the American people for many, many years. And voter ID laws are a very, very simple check that just says, hey, you know, it's already a thing. We're not making this up. You have to be an American to vote. You have to be, let's put it in context. You have to be a citizen of the country that you live in to vote in that country. It's common sense, right? You cannot get on a plane right now and go to Spain and input your American opinion. Like, I'd like to vote for, you know, the next president of Spain or whatever they have. Like, no country on earth allows that.
No.
The Democrats keyed into the fact that you could run mass illegal immigration campaigns, which they supported 100%. The Biden administration, more than anyone ever before, pumped thousands of people across the border with the specific intention of getting those people to vote. If you can't see that, I mean, you're on another level of mental health. It's so obvious what they did, right? They pump thousands and thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people into the country, then give them driver's license, and then tell them, if you don't vote for Democrats, you're a Nazi. And everyone else is racist and they hate you. I mean, dude, you could be a child to see their plan here to win elections via illegal immigration. So common sense, right? You just say, hey, guys, it's not even a new thing. It's a reminder. You have to be an American to vote.
Yeah.
So when we now we're trying to pass this law, right, that says, hey, you got to prove, you know, that you're born here to vote. And oh my goodness, the world is ending. They hate women. Like women. What are you talking about? What are you talking? Dude, they're so outrageous. But this is how they run messaging campaigns. They don't care if something is true or not. They never have.
Yeah.
They appeal to people's emotions. They want people to get angry and upset. And as long as that headline, you know, it's like shot across the bow, as long as it hits all the mainstream media and it goes out into the liberal sphere of information, then mission accomplished.
Yeah.
They don't care if it's true or not. They lie constantly.
I say I'll say when it first came out, and you know, I see a headline that Republicans are going to take away women's rights to vote. Of course, I know that's not true, but I'm like, well, okay. How did they spin that? Like, what in there is what they're using to spin that? So, of course, it's common sense once you look into it, right? They're attacking or they're saying that this is going to be a problem for married women, transgender, like everything we said. Okay, so married women, those who have changed their surname may face challenges if their identification documents don't match their legal name.
Dude, what okay. are you talking
well,
about? Like, who
yeah,
came up with that line?
I mean, when I got married to my wife, she had to take the marriage certificate to the bank to change the name on her bank. I mean, it's like things that you do like one time. And I mean, like, I guess it's a hassle to have to go to the bank or, you know, wherever else you have to go. And it, I mean, but it's like one time. The only argument that they make where I could see that this could be an issue for some people is rural voters, farmers, people like that who might have to drive an hour into town, you know, to show their documents in person. But again, it's one time to verify. And what is your vote worth to you? And there's solutions in place, and counter arguments to some of the stuff that they're talking about. So specifically with the rural voters, there's things that you can put in place, right? States can provide free or low cost access to identification documents upon request. Many already do with the voter ID laws in each state. Like I said, if it's important enough to you, then securing the documents needed to vote responsibly is a reasonable civic responsibility. Or they could do mobile ID services, mail-in document requests, extended office hours that might mitigate some of those issues. But as far as like women not being able to vote because they're too, the Democrats think that they're too lazy or dumb, like you said, to get those documents together and take them to where they need to go, I mean, it's just laughable. They're talking about transgender individuals, those whose legal documents may not reflect their current gender identity, leading to potential discrepancies. Okay, transgenders are already dealing with these issues on regular bank documents anyways. The law already focuses, or I should say the law focuses on citizenship. It's not talking about gender identity. You know, as long as that person is a U.S. citizen and their documents are legally valid, they're not going to be denied voter registration because they're transgender. Like I said, these individuals already navigate the sort of ID verification in contexts like banking, healthcare, and travel. We're not going to make voting an exception just because it's a hassle. If voting is important to you, I'll be the first in line to take my documents to the nearest voting registration.
I already have.
Yeah,
The federal star or whatever it's called.
The real ID. Yeah,
it's not that hard to show that you're an American. There are many organizations, institutions, and locations that you have to prove that you're a U.S. citizen, right? Are we just going to call everything racist now? So if you want to get a passport, are you going to go protest outside the passport agency because you have to show that you're an American citizen? I mean, where does the lunacy stop with these people?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's simple. This isn't about making it harder to vote.
No.
It's about making it harder to cheat. That's it. If 100%. You're a citizen, you're allowed to vote. But let's make sure that everyone who is voting has a legal right to be in that booth, because the integrity of our elections is more than the convenience of skipping a step. So
that's exactly what it's about. Anytime someone tries to look, I mean, here's the truth is that the Democrats have been doing this for years. They've used mass illegal immigration to fluff their numbers in elections for years. And it's not a secret. Anytime someone tries to look into it, they call you racist. You know, it's like, or now the new line is, oh, you hate women. It's like, dude, who believes that this nonsense? No. The bottom line is, this administration is taking moves to remove a fraudulent method of winning elections. And that's the only reason the Democrats are upset about it. They know it. You know what I'm really curious to see? What's going to happen next time there's an election and these laws are in place? Let's just see. You know, if it's not a big deal, if it's not true, my fellow socialist Americans, if it's not true and it's not a big deal, then why does it matter? Let's see what happens. My bet, you're going to see data from the next election, numbers are going to plummet in blue states.
Yeah. And then the Democrats are going to say it's because we didn't let poor people and rural voters vote.
Right.
And then it's going to be that whole battle. So the reality is, it's not about suppressing the vote. It's about making sure that the people who are voting are allowed to vote. The key kicker in here for me is prosecuting election officials, because right now, even in conservative counties that I've worked, voter integrity stuff on, they're kind of just like, well, we didn't know about it, right? You show them that 40 people are registered at a dog park in Laguna Beach, which was a real thing that I saw in the data. And they're like, well, we just didn't know about it. Well, now the responsibility is on you, right? It's just like anybody on the street that commits a crime. You don't get a get out of jail free ticket because you didn't know the law, right? That would be an excuse everybody uses. Oh, I didn't know that you couldn't, you know, murder somebody. Well, okay, that's not how it works. So them putting the responsibility on the elected official to make sure that those are cleaned up in the first place will clean up some of the, well, we just didn't know about it excuses. And that'll be really interesting to see how that goes moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's like I said, you know, They have quite the spine to put this forward in the manner that they are, to oppose things that are so common sense, you know, like protecting the border, or, you know, reducing taxes, or, you know, trying to reinforce the fact that you have to be an American to vote here. I mean, the Democrats, I guess, like, just don't care. I guess their base is so wildly zealous for their cause that they just don't care about the truth. At least it doesn't seem like it. I mean, let's not forget that, I mean, you need a birth certificate to get a passport when you're applying for a driver's license or state ID, when enlisting in the military, for a social security number application, naturalization or immigration process, not to mention marriage license, adoption procedures, divorce proceedings, establishing custody or parental rights, registering a child for school, applying for student financial aid like FAFSA, verifying age for school sports or programs. How about a form I-9, employment eligibility verification, jobs that require proof of citizenship, applying for health insurance, verifying dependents, hospital records. I mean, can we go on and on and
on? To get on a plane, you have to show an ID to get on a plane.
All the things that you need to show, but the Democrats are so furious that you would have to show an ID to vote. It tells you all you need to know. The leftists can't come right out and say, hey, we're using illegal non-citizens to boost our election numbers. So they're never going to admit that openly. So what they're saying instead is Republicans are attacking women.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, dude, who believes them anymore? You know, even CNN this week, I was watching a clip, said that the Democrats are losing men in mass across all demographics, and white men, black men, Hispanic, like, they're all fleeing. It's just they have just completely lost touch with reality. You see it even in their comments, you know, across social platforms and in the news throughout the week, as this administration is doling out the justice they promised to deliver. You see guys like Adam Schiff and Ocasio, you know, just they just sound like clowns. They're just not in touch with reality. It's astounding. It is a good reminder that, you know, the church needs to not be that way with moral and social issues as well, because we saw that a lot over the last 10 years. Remember where your information is coming from. As a Christian, it's really important to filter all of these issues through the Word of God. In other words, does this make sense with God's perspective and what He declares to be true in the Word? Because that's where wisdom comes from. As we know, Proverbs says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And, you know, we just talked about on Sunday that we've lost a reverence in this country and a healthy fear of God. Of course, God is love, and he died for us, and He cares for you, and He understands you, and He's compassionate, but He's also a fearful, awesome, and powerful creator of the universe. And that healthy fear, when you're looking at issues even like this that we're talking about in the news and stuff, you need to consider a biblical perspective, because that's what's going to keep you in line. The Word of God is the plumb line that has lasted throughout the ages. It never changes. It never has, and it never will. It endures forever. And it's a great litmus test for any topic of discussion that you could have. And if the church departs from that as a plumb line, and they go more to like, well, what is the culture telling me right now? What does the world think about, you know, sexuality? As we've seen some ridiculous things in the church lately in regards to that. you're going to lose, you're going to invite doctrines of demons into what otherwise should be pure doctrine. So as we wrap it up, we've got an administration fighting to bring American jobs back. That's the bottom line. A culture pushing back harder than ever against truth, and a generation caught in that crossfire. So whether it's protests on campus or China's retaliation and tariffs or leadership being purged in armed forces, it's clear we're not just in a political moment. We're in a spiritual moment. And that's the key, is that none of this is going to get any better until America turns back to God. That's where we came from. That's what this country was founded on. And amidst every rise of evil thing, whether it was, you know, internal conflict or slavery, the only thing that conquers that is truth, and that's biblical truth. And that is why we are an exceptional nation, because no one has done what America's done. That's why we're here, not to panic, not to posture, but to proclaim truth and raise up a generation that won't bow to these cultural giants. I just want to share some biblical insight for the week. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." That's the call. It was true in Nehemiah's day, and it's true now. We're not called to retreat as believers. We're called to build, protect, fight with wisdom, with courage, with unshakable faith. That's what we're about here at Defining Truth, and looking at world events and news headlines through that lens. So thanks for joining us. Episode 53. Hey, if this spoke to you, do me a favor and share it. Leave a review, comment on Instagram or on YouTube, and consider supporting the mission here at DT. You can find information to do that at definingtruth.org, definingtruth.org. We're here to define truth for such a time as this. We'll see you next time.